This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Shao-Ik. In July, the Ministry of Health plans to launch a national health screening initiative to detect non-communicable diseases, especially after the delays caused by the pandemic when it comes to people seeking health screening. Now, today on the show, I want to explore what is the Malaysian attitude towards health screening and what do we need to do to get things back on track? Is it a matter of more screening programs, or perhaps do we need a different approach to motivate people to go for screening? So joining me today on the show, Dr. Sri Wahyu Tahir, President of the Family Medicine Specialists Association, to discuss these very issues and to share some insights from as she deals with patients and people in the community, what she has observed and, what kind of strategies would work well. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Sri.
Thank you.
Perhaps we can start by making sure everyone is on the same page, of course, and yes, understands what we're talking about today, right? So when we use that term health screening, what exactly does it mean and why is it important to do it?
Okay, just would like to tell you, I hope everybody knows what is health screening all about, okay? And one of the things that people always retract or withdraw from actually doing any form of screening as simple as blood glucose is because they're just afraid of what the results are going to be, okay? Now, health screening is something that people always look at it in a very negative manner, right? And people always feel that when I do a health screening, that means I will be diagnosed with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 diseases, and that's it. My life is gone. I cannot enjoy my life. I cannot go out with my friends. I am just stuck at home. That is a very, very negative perception. Now, when we do health screening, we are looking at your health status, as simple as that, okay? Now, when we talk about health status, we are talking about, of course, NCD. NCD means non-communicable disease. Why is it the non-communicable disease? And why not the communicable disease? Now, communicable disease is more on the infectious aspect of health. And usually when someone has been infected by something, a virus, a bacteria, they will have some form of abnormality. They feel a little bit unwell and they bring themselves to see the doctor. Okay, they will proactively go and see somebody. All right. Now, but when we talk about NCD, the non-communicable disease, this is a disease or a condition, a medical condition that is in your body, but doesn't show much changes in yourself, okay? You feel well. You don't think that you should be going to any form of health screening. You think that you have the world in your hands, okay? You are at the best of your health, and you feel health screening is not important. So this is what is the perception of our people with regards to non-communicable disease. And if I could say, it is actually a condition that kills you in silence. Okay? Now, people talk about NCD and people say, oh, it's hypertension, diabetes, obesity, okay? Hypercholesterolemia. And people forget about a cancer. But in Ministry of Health, the NCD, under the program NCD, we have put in the cancer. And they are doing surveillance of cancer and we are making steps on how to actually diagnose early cancer. Okay. Now, so what I'm trying to say here is health screening is basically to know your health status. Okay. To find out how well you are doing. Okay. We are not diagnosing anything because the word here is screening, not diagnosing. So when we do health screening, we need to do more than one screening. That is the best. Okay. And we want to tell you with the results, with whatever results we're getting, that this is your health status. And yes, you need to do something. Okay, I can tell you whatever health screening that we do in our KK, in our Klinik Kesihatan in Malaysia, there will always be something that needs to be done to improve your health status. Okay, it could be something as simple as your diet. It could be as simple as your weight. It could be as simple as your mental health, okay? So because nobody is perfect, nobody has a perfect health in this world, right? Nobody is 100% healthy. And with that screening, we want you, with our help, the healthcare providers, to start doing something with your health, with your body, so that we could achieve longevity and prosperity. Okay, in Malaysia, the mean age of our population for the female is about 77 years of age. The male is about 75.
Okay? That's our life expectancy, right?
Yes, that's life expectancy. So we hope that many of us would live more beyond those age, okay, because that's only the mean. And how do we get beyond 77, beyond 75 is to do the health screening with that, with whatever results of the health screening, look into interventional program, and we hope to reverse all these risk factors to achieve longevity, prosperity, and quality of life. Why? Because NCD doesn't come to you in a very obvious manner. It comes to you, usually it's late. All right? And when it is late, you have no choice but to take medication. Of course, if you have to take medication, that's fine. However, we do hope that from going through a healthy lifestyle intervention, you can reverse the risk factors and you do not need to take medication, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. So, so you know, you started with that negative perception that so many people have where if you go for screening, that means you're going to get bad news. What you're saying is that if you go for screening and you do it regularly enough, you can do lots of little things before you get to the bad news, right?
Correct. This is what our people is afraid of. The moment they do some form of health screening, they anticipate bad results. Okay. Now, of course, bad results is very subjective, right? So bad results could be confirmed or overt medical condition, or it could be a pre-medical condition, or it could be just slightly raised or slightly abnormal, but nothing to worry or no intervention that needs. However, when I said no intervention means medical intervention, okay? But what I would want people to understand is the lifestyle, the healthy lifestyle intervention need to take place.
Yeah. You know, just very quickly, you mentioned there's so many different types of screenings.
Yes.
And, you know, even looking at what is listed as a non-communicable disease, there are already so many different conditions that you want to be looking out for. So just as a brief overview, I suppose, what are the common screening tests that people should be aware of? And how do we know which ones we should go for?
Okay, yeah. If you go and walk along Klang Valley or, you know, in the middle of the town, you'll see lots of people offering health screening, you know. You have a medical center that says health screening center, and then off you go and you get a battery of screening, okay? And then at the end of the day, you all get, all the people get more confused. Okay, so yes, correct. There is a lot of health screening that is offered out there, but which one is the most important, all right? With what the Ministry of Health is offering, I feel if someone wants to do more and they want to do it in the private center, by all means, please do. All right. However, I would like to say a point of being cautious. Now, health screening needs to be interpreted by a medical doctor. It cannot be interpreted by the lab technician. It cannot be interpreted by just anybody who is offering that particular screening. Now, when you do a health screening and when you've received the results, please bring that results to the medical doctor, whoever that, you know, you are seeing, your family doctor, the specialist. Get the doctor to interpret your results, and then it has to be clinched with the medical or the clinical condition of that particular person. So that screening results, it will be meaningful. If you don't connect the clinical profile or clinical condition of a person and the results, you do it, if you take it separately or you interpret it separately, it will not be meaningful. This is what I worry. And I think many of us, many of the people out there are worried about this. Now, what they need to do is they need to do it properly. So number one, take the health screening, yes. Number two, bring the results of the health screening to your doctor. Okay, tell your doctor what are the things that you are feeling or experiencing, or if you do not feel anything, you feel that you are very well, you didn't feel any symptoms, you just want to do a health screening, discuss it with your doctor. Then we will have to make a decision between the patient, you, and the doctor to see if there is any form of intervention that needs to be done. Okay, that is the process, a general process that I think everybody must take. Now, I do not want people to have a health screening and get an opinion from someone who is not a medically professional person or a non-medical person, show that results to that particular person, and that particular person start to say, you got this, you got that, you got this, you got that, you got that. Okay? And what will the patient feel? They feel so overwhelmed. They'll be so worried. It may cause some form of anxiety and also depression among these particular people. So be aware. Don't do that. Bring those results to see a medical doctor and discuss with your doctor what are the results all about, what are the interventions that needs to be done, what will be the next step, okay? Now, what will be the screening parameters that you want to do, okay? Mm. Now, please get your glucose screening done. So you need to screen for your glucose level, because the results of your glucose level will tell you a few categories, a few things. Whether your glucose is high and you are diabetic or not, that is, again, discuss it with your doctor. And then it's totally normal, or you are in the pre-diabetes era. So this is something that needs to be discussed. So get your glucose test done. And it is very simple. You can get it done anywhere. You can always see your GP. You can come to the clinic and see the medical officers at the clinic kesihatan. You can also have it in one of the private lab or even the pharmacies. I know some pharmacies do actually do blood testing, but please bring those results to see your doctor again. All right, that's number one. Number two, of course, your blood pressure, right? Your blood pressure and the glucose testing are the two indices, medical indices, that can be abnormal, but you will not feel anything. Okay, again, this is NCD, right? So it kills you in silence, right? Okay, so your blood pressure. Now, blood pressure testing, of course, why do we need that? Because we want to diagnose hypertension. Now, diagnosing hypertension is not just by using one reading of blood pressure. It has to be a few and multiple. Therefore, if you have measured your blood pressure somewhere else, okay, jot it down in a piece of paper or in a notebook, and please bring it to your doctor and discuss it with your doctor. The third thing is cholesterol. Okay, now cholesterol is again something that people are so oblivious about it. They don't think that they have high cholesterol. And when we see those cases of a heart attack, most of the time they do have high lipids or high or hypercholesterolemia. And nothing has been done because they do not know that they have hypercholesterolemia or dyslipidemia and no intervention done. Okay, so again, you need to do that. So these are one, two, three things, definitely. And people will think about, okay, doctor, as simple as weight and BMI. Is it a part of screening? The answer is yes. Okay, know your BMI, come and discuss it with your doctor, and then look at the category of your BMI, whether you are class 1, class 2, class 3 of obesity, or you are a pre-obese or overweight whatsoever. So these are the four important, simple to test. And I can tell you, if they come to the clinic kesihatan, these are all free. Now, I'm going to add another one, which is the screening for mental health. I think since COVID, the mental health status of the population has becoming an issue. Their mental health are being poorly managed because we are not screening and we are not detecting population with significant mental health. Mm. And if we can't detect these people from our community, how can we intervene, right? All we know is we will see that the statistics of our commit suicide has gone up, the depression prevalence has gone up, anxiety prevalence has gone up during the COVID because, they lost their job, so on and so forth, right? Okay, so again, the mental health screening is, again, free, simple. Okay, you can get it from one of the clinic kesihatan. Okay, and if you are a very busy person, you can't come to the clinic kesihatan because we operate from 8 to 5. These five things that I have just mentioned are also accessible at the GP clinic. The GP clinic opens after five also. And some of them opens up to 24 hours or 16 hours. But at least, you know, until 9 o'clock, you can access. You can get access and come, and you can always see a general practitioner outside there. And you can always ask, doctor, can I have these five things screened? And again, it is so feasible and also so easy to do. But of course, if you see a GP, you need to pay something. Mm-hmm. And if you come, you know, to see a clinic kesihatan doctor, it's again free. Or maybe you need to pay RM1 lah. That's the fee to the clinic kesihatan, which is only RM1. Yeah. Okay. So very cheap. And yet our service, you know, sometimes are being sort of neglected by the population around the KK. But these are the five things. Of course, I can go on and on and on. Okay, but just to highlight, there's another screening that we are doing in Klinik Kesihatan is the colorectal screening. Mm-hmm. The colorectal screening that we have started a few years ago, even before COVID, what we wanted to do is to screen those people from age 50 and above with no bowel symptoms, to screen them to see if there is any occult blood in their feces, and then start, you know, the intervention program. Now, the thing is that it is not to say that when you have this positive results of colorectal screening, you definitely have a cancer of the bowel. No, it is actually only a screening. The next step is to do another test. And that another test could help confirm a diagnosis. Okay. And I can tell you it helps a lot. Why? Because we are now able to detect early stages of colorectal cancer. And colorectal cancer is another cancer that has many a treatment modality. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's quite a lot of things that can be done.
Okay. We'll go for a quick break. And when we come back, I want to find out more about other kinds of cancer screening. I'm speaking to Dr. Sri Wahyu Tahir, President of the Family Medicine Specialists Association, about the importance of health screening. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on Health and Living BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. Today on the show, I'm discussing health screening with family medicine specialist, Dr. Sri Wahyu Tahir. Before the break, Dr. Sri explained the five most essential screening tests that we should go for. Glucose, hypertension, cholesterol levels, body weight and body mass index, as well as mental health. And she also added colorectal screening on top of that. These are all available at your clinic kesihatan in your community or private GP clinics as well. Now, Dr. Sri, what about screening for other cancers like breast, cervical and prostate cancers?
All right. Okay. The death from cancer has now gone up in our community. Okay. And among the female, definitely the breast cancer. And although the cervical cancer death has actually gone down, okay, taken over by the colorectal, however, it is still what we call a worrying statistics. Why do we say it's worrying? Because these are the cancers that you have mentioned, okay? Breast cancer, cervical cancer, and prostate cancer. These are the three cancers that can be detected early. Any form of disease, okay, that can be detected early needs to go through a screening program, you know, needs to be promoted into a screening program. People need to know that the screening program for these particular diseases or condition is available. Now, the other screening for this cancer, the three, again, if you can detect early, there's a very good prognosis of getting life more than 5 years, improving the quality of life, even though you are in remission, okay? And there is a lot of technology or also treatment management that can be offered to our patients who are in that very, very early stage of cancer, okay? Now, so what do we offer? For cervical, for breast, these are very pertinent to the woman. And for the prostate, they are for men. In the Ministry of Health, in KKM, first thing, the first step, okay, when we talk about screening, we must think of a procedure that is cheap but effective, all right? Okay, so let's talk about breast cancer screening. The first thing that we want to tell people is that come to the clinic, see one of our nurses, okay, and get their breast palpated. Okay, we will first do our palpation by the nurse or by the medical officer. And then we will teach the patient to do it regularly.
Palpation meaning?
Palpation means how do you actually feel your breast?
So how like a examination by touch, is
yes,
that right?
Examination of the breast using the palm of your hands, okay? The palm of your hands are a very powerful part of your body, very sensitive. There's a lot of sensory nerves there that you can use to feel or to try and detect abnormality of your breast. Now, what you do is you put the hands on the breast, okay? And then you go through the areas of the breast, putting some form of pressure so that you could feel the inner part of the breast, okay? Now, if you do it regularly, you will realize that, okay, this is a normal, this is my normal breast. Now, we will guide you. Yeah? The healthcare providers will guide you what is normal. Okay, and if you do it regularly, you will then feel, you will detect, this is not right. You know, this is some abnormality. I'm feeling some abnormality on my breast. Okay, so what do? I will go and see the doctor. So this is what we call early. It is a screening, actually. Although people think that, alamak, this is not a screening because it doesn't cost taking blood or something like that. But this is actually a screening, all right? So you bring yourself to the doctor. And then the doctor will confirm, okay? And then the doctor will do another thorough examination, all right? And then after that, we will decide, okay? Now, there are so many things that can occur to our breasts. It could be as easy as fibroadenoma or a lump or a fat lump, you know, a fibrous fat lump in our breast. But of course, it's worry us, right? It worries the woman. So we need to do something, right? And if there is really an abnormality, a lump, we can refer for biopsy, for example. And if it's true, and we hope by doing so, we could detect a very early stage of cancer. And I've seen so many patients who has had breast cancer, stage 1, stage 2B, 2A, now still living under remission. You know, they are leading a very healthy life and they go around talking to the people on how to actually do breast screening, why do you need to do, you know, early cancer screening, so on and so forth. So again, it's a very simple gesture. It is your body, it is your breast, it is your hands. So do it, you know, examine, and then please come to us when you feel something is not right. Then what about the cervical cancer? We are offering pap smear. And again, cervical screening, before someone gets cervical cancer, the changes in our cervix will have go through CIN1, CIN2, and 3 before they go cancerous. Now, if we do regular pap smear, and if there is abnormality found in the pap smear, let's say, you know, between CIN1, 2, and 3 before the cancer, these can be actually treated before the cervix changes into a full-blown cancer. So again, by just simple as doing as pap smear, we can actually reduce cervical cancer death. Now, the problem is getting the woman to come to the clinic to do the pap smear. So many, many women shun away and say, alama, I'm so embarrassed, you know, to go and see a doctor or the nurse, you know. So, but then there are, of course, another test that actually allows you to do the testing on your own, which we can also guide you. So there are a few types of doing cervical cancer screening. Okay, as for prostate, definitely prostate, we have to take some blood sample, okay, and we'll see what is the level, and then we'll take on from that. So these are the three health screening pertaining to cancer that is so available in our health system. I say health system so that it incorporates the government and the private, you know, and other agencies, which is actually available in Malaysia. Yeah.
So I think recently our Minister of Health, Khairi Jamaluddin, also revealed that, you know, under the Perker B40 screening program, which is for lower income communities. But then again, when they heard about how certain kinds of screening tests need to be done, like you said, right, they shy away because they fear the test itself, the screening itself. Have you come across, have you observed attitudes like this? And how do you talk to your patients about it?
Okay. Very good question again. This is all about attitude, and this is what we call health literacy. Okay. Now, yes, we offer PECA B40. It is a very, very fantastic gesture from the government to help our people. Okay. And again, we are seeing a decline, you know, a decline in the PECA B40 take up, especially during the COVID. Now we are trying to revive and trying to get more people coming in, you know, especially for those who have not done their health screening under the PECA B40. Okay, now who are the B40 people? These are the people, of course, with lower income. And then lower income relates to lower education, all right? Lower education means lower exposure to health, you know, to technologies, to, you know, what is happening to our country. They may not be sensitive towards what's happening around the world. They may be so focused on, you know, working, getting money, for example, income to the family, but forgetting about health and also, you know, the prevalence of cancer, prevalence of NCD, so on and so forth. So definitely these B40 population will have very, I wouldn't say no health literacy at all, but I would say a very weak understanding of health, okay? And probably they grew up in an environment where health is not so important. You know what I mean? Because I have, when we look at our people, our B40 people, our patients who are B40, right? And when we go through the history and we realize that they come from a very insecure background, okay? A background that do not promote, okay, health literacy, whom the family members, the peers do not talk about health. They talk more about how to get more money, how to get more income for the families, okay? These are the group of people, honestly, actually are exposed to all these diseases that I have just mentioned, okay? They are exposed to the NCDs, they are exposed to the cancers, they are also exposed to the CDs, the communicable disease. Okay, so then we will see that, okay, how do we improve matters? Number one, we should not stop our PECA B40 promotion. Okay, and we all know that PECA B40 is not just been executed by the KK, Klinik Kesihatan, or the health clinic in Malaysia, but also are actually being rolled out by our general practitioner's friends. They are also involved in PECA B40. May not be all, okay, but perhaps some. And we have seen, I have met people who did their PECA B40 from a private clinic, but has had abnormal results. The GP referred them to us, you know, for further intervention, which are very glad. We are very happy to receive all those referrals from our GP friends because it helps to promote health. It helps to treat or even to change the progress of the disease.
So that means the individual can access PECA B40 screening in a private clinic, at that subsidized or it's heavily subsidized, and continue to seek follow-up treatment in Klinik Kesehatan, right?
Correct. So this is what we call partnership between the private clinic and the government clinic. We are always here. We are always available to help our people. And we encourage referrals from our GP friends, okay? Of course, free. I mean, what? One ringgit is so little, so it's negligible, all right? So how do we get further people, you know, further people to do this? Of course, we cannot stop our health promotion. We cannot stop doing what we call outreach program. Outreach program, that means going into the community, going to the housing area, going into the various institutions to bring in, you know, health information. Like, for example, 2 weeks ago, we did what we call smoking screening. This is again a screening. We call it smoking screening. Because what we wanted was to know whether those people that comes to our booth are smoking or not, okay? And if they do, we want to offer quit smoking services. We went into one of these education program, and we receive people from all levels of ages, you know, like teenagers, young adults, and those who came to our booth. All we did was we screened for smoking, and we offer our service. Okay, Last week on Friday, we went out to a community, to a housing area, and we did health screening there. Okay, so it's happening outside there. It's happening. We are doing it as much as we can. And I think I'm also seeing some of these NGOs, doing health promotion program, a health screening program, and they will invite us to provide those screening program whenever they have some form of a program in some parts of the community. So that will be under the NGOs. And we are hoping our health education officer that goes out also to do outreach program will also promote health screening to the population. Okay? Mm. Yeah.
So that sounds really excellent, bringing it to the community where they are, because we recognize there are barriers when it comes to expecting people to access it at the healthcare setting. So, you know, when it comes to a proposal from the Ministry of Health about a national health screening initiative, what would you like to see then that would continue to strengthen these efforts to make health screening like really second nature for everyone?
Okay. Number one is I would like the Minister of Health Malaysia, okay, of course, under the purview of our YBMK, Khairi Jamaluddin, to actually keep on promoting, keep on giving a support. Giving a support for screening, what I'm trying to say in specific here is in terms of supply of those tests, okay, to give us budget to get those reagents in, you know, reagents that we use for screening. That's number one. Number two is to give us a bit more help in terms of human resource and do as much screening as possible, because we want to do screening frequently, maybe every week, once a week, or maybe once every few days. But because of the human resources that is not available at our a clinic, we can't do it every day. We can only maybe do it once a month, for example. Okay. Number two is what I want to see is the Minister of Health to support the agencies, the other agencies, the NGOs, okay, various societies and associations who are keen to do health screening. So perhaps maybe example, I'm just giving an example, an association, okay, wants to do a big mega health screening in a stadium, for example, and they would like to apply budget. You know, they would like to apply budget to the Ministry of Health, for example, or to a certain what we call fund, you know, that whatever available fund. So that's through the agencies. Now, I would also like to see our GP friends, okay, do get support from our Ministry of Health, maybe some form of allocation. I'm just going to give you an example how they can do it, okay? Let's say, for example, a GP does screening five things, okay, the one that I mentioned, plus the colorectal, the sixth, okay, and also the pap smear. So let's say seven panel of screening. And this GP does this seven panel of screening onto a particular patient, and the patient doesn't pay anything, okay? But the GP can actually get reimbursement, you know, from the government through a third party or whatsoever. Like, you know, like we did for our COVID, remember our COVID vaccine, which was our GP friends also actually gave COVID vaccine through Protect Health. So something similar of that mechanism. So that will actually encourage our GP friends to do at least seven panels of screening. Okay, bring those people who couldn't come to the clinic, you know, before 5, they can go to the GP after 5 o'clock. That actually helps to improve or increase the rate of our screening program in the community. So this is just some of my thoughts.
Mm, excellent. I think I want to sort of, let's just bring it back to at the individual level again, with perhaps some takeaway messages for listeners. How often should people be doing these basic 5 to 7 essential screening tests?
All right. Okay. Number one is anything in life at least once a year. Once a year. So I always tell myself and I tell everybody, pick your birth date. Your birth date to do all the screening, okay? The screen that I've mentioned, right? Okay, and of course, if you have more time or you are more conscientious with your health, you can do a little bit more than once a year. But at least once a year is, for me, good enough, all right? But if you have reached a certain level of age, you know, if you are more than 60, okay, or even more than 50. It depends. Depends on maybe the history, your family history. If your if you have a very bad family history of heart attack, stroke, whatsoever, you want to do it even more earlier and even more frequent. So those who are in general population, once a year. You reach, you know, maybe 50 and above, or even, or if you think that you have, don't have the time, you want to do it when you retire, 60 and above, you do it at least twice a year, okay? And those people, population with high risk, family history of heart attack, stroke, they want to do it earlier and they want to do it more frequent, not just once a year. But in general, if you don't have anything else in life, you don't have the time at all, and you're a very young person, or if you feel that you're a very healthy person, at least once a year, I would want to advocate that.
And just again, I think a final reminder on where people can go to seek these screening tests.
Okay. Number one, go to the government health clinic or the Klinik Kesihatan. All right. People would say, doctor, can I go to the hospital? Yes, you can. However, I think the hospital are looking more at a specialized clinic. All right. So when you want to do screening, you are looking at the very early or the basic level of your health. So come to the Klinik Kesihatan. All right. That's number one. There are more than 1,000 Klinik Kesihatan in Malaysia. And certain areas, maybe the Klang Valley, Selangor, Klang Valley will have more, you know, in proportion. Okay, that's number one. Number two, there are more than 8,000 GPs in Malaysia, general practitioners. They are doctors. They may be at various levels of experience, you know, at various levels of expertise, but they are still doctors. So please see the general practitioners. Number three, yes, you can do testing at the local private lab, all right? However, I just like to remind you all that if you do it there in one of the private lab, please bring the results and show it to your doctor and have a discussion with your doctor, okay? Likewise, if you so happen to do a blood test or a BP test in one of the pharmacies, retail pharmacies, please bring those results to the to see your doctor. All right.
Absolutely. Not difficult, as Dr. Sri has, you know, explained at least five essential things once a year on your birthday. Just a blood test to check your glucose, cholesterol levels, checking your blood pressure, checking your weight and body mass index, and a mental health screening. Nothing very invasive, nothing painful. And it's just that yearly checkup on your health status. Thank you so much, Dr. Sri. I've been speaking to Dr. Sri Wahyu Tahir, President of the Family Medicine Specialist Association, about health screening and how we can really get it back on track. You've been listening to Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.